start of its season. The volleyball team takes on USC at 8 p.m. Thursday in San Antonio following the matchup of UCLA and Florida State. The title game, 7:30 Saturday night. That's our noon hour look at WILL News. Our next report at 4:30 this afternoon during All Things Considered.
Programs on WILL are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting you to visit the Promenade Gift Shop for unique gift ideas. More information about upcoming events is at KrannertCenter.com.
The Midwest will see a mild and damp weather pattern over the next few days. Periods of rain with embedded thunderstorms can be expected for tomorrow and tomorrow night across Missouri and Illinois. By Thursday morning, a strong cold front will sweep into the Midwest, ending the rain but bringing in much colder air and a blustery northwest wind. High temperatures today will range from the mid-30s across northern Wisconsin to the mid-50s across the Boot Heel of Missouri. Overnight low temperatures will range from the mid-30s across northwestern Iowa to the mid-40s across a large part of Missouri, southern portions of Illinois and Indiana. The forecast for East Central Illinois this afternoon, cloudy with a chance of rain, the high 45 with the wind from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, rain is likely. We'll see a low of 40. The temperature will hold steady or rise slowly after midnight. The wind will be out of the south from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, showers are likely. There's also a chance of thunderstorms tomorrow. Look for a high of 55. It will be breezy with a wind out of the south from 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts to 30. Tomorrow night, windy with occasional showers and a chance of thunderstorms early. After midnight, showers are likely and there's another chance of thunderstorms. The temperature will hold near steady in the mid-50s. The wind tomorrow night from the southwest at 20 to 25 miles per hour with gusts to 35 miles per hour. And the outlook for Thursday, partly sunny with a high in the upper 40s. The temperature will fall through the 40s Thursday afternoon. The wind will be from the west at 15 miles per hour with gusts to 25 miles per hour. At noon, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the low to mid 40s. Most locations reporting cloudy skies, a fair amount of rain in southern sections of Illinois and Indiana. At Rockford, it was 41 degrees, 43 at O'Hare, 40 at Bloomington, Mattoon, 42, Carbondale, 46. 41 degrees at South Bend, at Lafayette, Indianapolis, and Terre Haute, 43. Willard Airport reported a cloudy sky at the top of the hour, 42 degrees. The dew point, 39. The relative humidity, 89%. The wind out of the south at 10. The barometric pressure, 30.38 and falling. And at 1240, 41 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. A casino for Chicago, private school vouchers, mounting deficits, and doomsday budgets. Those are the big topics in the Illinois legislature today. And they were just as big almost two decades ago when Phil Rock was president of the Illinois Senate. The Democrat from Chicago and later suburban Oak Park is out with a new book. Now 74 years old, Rock wrote, "Nobody calls us just to say hello," with Ed Wojcicki, an assistant chancellor at the University of Illinois in Springfield. Sam Hudzik talked with Wojcicki about Rock, starting with his leadership style.
The kind of leader he was the kind, first and foremost, who believed in giving everybody a chance to be heard. And that would be people who he didn't agree with. That was Republicans. And he also, he had a close working relationship with Pate Phillip.
And Pate Phillip was the Republican leader in the Senate at the time.
Yes, who was ideologically very different from him. And he had a very good relationship with Jim Thompson, who was the Republican governor, who was governor for 12 of the 14 years that Rock was Senate president. And he figured out a way to work with all of them.
And I interviewed Rock a while back, and he described a bipartisan push for a temporary income tax in the early 1980s that he did with Thompson, teaming up with him. And this is sort of how he described that.
Governor took care of the Republican side, and I took care of the Democratic side, and we squeaked it out. literally just took a lot of personal contact with the members, selling them on it.
With regard to that tax increase, Rock was the first one out of the box to support the tax increase very early that year. And then Thompson came along and supported it, too, in his State of the State address. And it was the two of them who worked together to get it done.
And you talked about how he allowed everyone a chance to sort of have their say. But he certainly wasn't a pushover. The book talks of a meeting room, I guess, behind the Senate chamber where he'd sometimes take his members, and they called it the woodshed. Is that right?
Yes, they call it the woodshed because he always made it very clear to his members where he stood and when he wanted their vote on a particular thing. But he would listen at the same time. But, you know, he also was, as much as he worked with Republicans, he said, we have every right to try to beat Republicans on issues, and I am loyal to the Democratic Party of Cook County, and he was. And so he was a loyal partisan, but he was highly principled at the same time.
And I just want to point out, you interviewed Rock 28 times in preparing for this book over 6 years, and Rock couldn't join us because of some health issues. But what was it like to sit through all those interview sessions with him and just listen to him tell stories of all those years in leadership?
It was a wonderful experience for me. Rock is a great storyteller, as many people know, and he also he knew all the players, and he knew where all the bodies were buried. And I just enjoyed myself so much when I would just toss out a word or toss out a phrase, and he would pick up on it. There are, frankly, some things that he couldn't quite remember, but he remembered a lot, and it was just a great experience for me, a great learning experience. And actually something that you addressed earlier, that a lot of the issues that were alive back in the 70s and 80s are still alive today, and some of his insights on those issues would be valid today.
There were a couple times in the book where Rock describes a near fight on the Senate floor. One that comes to mind is had to do with the contentious process of drawing legislative boundaries, redistricting. Rock was presiding on the Senate, and a Republican was cursing at him from the floor. Can you tell us what happened next?
Yes, that was Mark Rhodes, who thought he had a deal to get a certain map passed, and he was really going after Rock because he couldn't get his bill called. And Sam Vidalabin, who was twice Rhodes' age, a little guy from Edwardsville, he was watching. Rhodes started sort of charging up the aisle, and Sam stepped out and decked him. There's discussions about exactly what that means, that he decked him. Did he hit him? Did he push him? Did he punch him? But it became quite a scene, and Mike Royko wrote about it with great jubilation that this smaller guy had yelled at this Republican senator and said, "You don't talk to my leader that way," and hit him on the Senate floor. It was quite a scene.
If only there had been cameras on the Senate floor at that point, we could have that.
Oh, my gosh.
We're talking with Ed Wojcicki. He's co-author of former Illinois Senate President Phil Rock's new autobiography. Ed, Rock's one big push for higher office came in 1984 when he ran for the U.S. Senate. He had support from the state Democratic Party, but finished last in the primary. Paul Simon, then a congressman, won that seat. But Rock never really forgave Simon for even getting into that race, did he?
No, he didn't. That was a bitter time for Rock. And because Simon had promised him that he would not run in the primary, and Rock said he would run only if he got the endorsement of the state party, which he did. And then he was not happy at all when Simon jumped into the race anyway. Rock would also say that, looking back, that was probably a little bit of an ill-conceived campaign for him. He did come in last, and Simon obviously won that seat.
That Senate race in 1984 also left Rock with a huge campaign debt, and surprisingly, the people who came to help him out there were not his fellow Democrats.
Yes, and this is very interesting, and I think this is something that would not happen today. It was Pate Phillip and Governor Thompson who put together a fundraiser to retire Rock's debt from that campaign. One of the things I would say is Rock had great respect for the institution of the Illinois Senate and great respect for the institution of the office of governor. And I think that might be not so much there today among some members who might have more of an independent streak, but it's because of that respect for the institution that Rock was able to treat Philip with respect, and then Pate and Thompson put together this fundraiser for him.
In general, it seems Rock was closer to Governor Thompson than he was at times with Mike Madigan, who was Speaker for much of the same time that Rock led the Senate. Madigan, of course, still leads the House. Can you talk about their different leadership styles?
Sure. And this is something that actually Speaker Madigan and Rock agree on. Both of them would say that Rock was probably more interested in the issues and Madigan was more interested in playing out the politics of any given issue. And the two of them actually agreed on what the outcome of most of the issues should be, but their approach to getting there was much different because the Speaker didn't want Thompson to have any victories, and Rock didn't care if Thompson got some victories as long as he thought it was what he called doing the right thing. And so they were very different in their political approach.
Rock also had a bit of a competitive thing going on with then-State Senator Richard Daley in the late 70s, our now retired mayor. They didn't much get along in Springfield, did they?
No, they didn't, and that was especially true early on. I think as the years went on, things tempered a bit, but the younger Rich Daley got to Springfield when his dad was still the mayor, and so there was some confusion, I guess, and among the members whether the young Daley was speaking for his father. And one of the reasons that became contentious for Rock was that Rock was Mayor Richard J. Daley's person in the Senate to carry the bills for the city of Chicago. And some of the regular members of the Democratic organization weren't quite sure what the younger Daley was doing, or they weren't sure why he was so contentious with them. But he did create some trouble for Rock and some leaders in the Senate.
And he ended up retiring in 1993, opted not to run again for the state Senate. And he believed that Republicans were going to take control of the chamber and didn't really want to be in the minority. And then he had a shot at looking at the state Supreme Court, decided not to do that. And when I interviewed him in 2010, this is how he described retirement.
Well, I frankly enjoyed myself, having enjoyed the fruits of retirement. I still have work in my law office, and I, however, get in a little later than I once did, and I leave a little earlier than I once did.